welcome those who are visiting for the very first time. Your timing's great. You're on the second installment of a series called Holy Fire. You can catch up. Every Wednesday we have a sermon rewind that's sent out on our church app, and we're focusing in on coming back from maybe a little bit of a lackadaisical walk this past year, the pressures, the cares of the world that came upon us, and we're just checking things right now. Are we all where we need to be in our walk? Are we a little bit stale, a little bit lethargic? Last week we talked about fire shut up in our bones and how that's great on one hand, but it's not great if it doesn't get oxygen. Fire needs oxygen. So Jeremiah had fire shut up in his bones, but the way we bring our fire of God out into the open to get some heirs to worship. I, as a pastor, ask you to consider upping your worship during the week. Singing, praising, exalting, magnifying God. It's the best and most prudent way to begin a process of getting out of a bit of a stale walk with the Lord. Not assuming everyone's there, but if you are there, we're giving that to you. There you go, free of charge. We need to start moving forward in our walk because we have a lot to accomplish this summer. God's going to move in this congregation this summer like a holy fire. He's going to be refining. He's going to be consuming. He's going to be emboldening people. He's going to be calling some people out into the marketplace. It's going to be exciting. So now we're getting on the same page. We're going to go now with Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. I changed this message up a little bit. I changed the order. Next week, we'll look at Malachi 3 and 2. But right now, Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Last week we said his word is like a heart, in my heart is like a fire shut up in my bones. He said, I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. All right, let's talk about heartburn. Anybody have an issue with heartburn? Don't raise your hand. Heartburn, acid reflux. Ugh. You ever had a heart attack, acid reflux in the middle of the night? Ooh, it's troubling. 20 to 30% of the population has an acid reflux heartburn issue. And almost everyone has a heartburn issue sometime in their life. What is that? That is where this acid that's supposed to be used to break things down makes its way up your esophagus, causes coughing, great concern, pain. It's nasty. I take medicine for it. In fact, if you watch any kind of television show that's geared towards someone in their 50s or 60s, you'll probably see over 8,000 heartburn commercials just in that one episode. Well, what is heartburn? Heartburn is a malfunction in a process of digestion. Digestion going in the wrong direction. It's coming up rather than go down. Acid reflux. And what is digestion? Digestion is nothing more than taking a substance and breaking it down. Breaking it, and then distributing that broken substance to where it's needed most. In its simplest of terms, digestion. Now we look at our scripture for today. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord. Let me say that again. The Lord speaking. Is my word not like a fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? My word not like a fire and like a rock broken in pieces by a hammer. What is this? Psalm 39 and 3, my heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned when I spoke with my tongue. The way to jump out of and get moving and get momentum out of a lethargic spiritual walk that lacks passion, zeal, conviction, and celebration, and joy, and fruit is to worship. We covered that. Well, the next way to go about jump-starting, shocking, moving your walk into a whole new realm is through the Word of God. I noticed when I was in youth ministry back in the 90s, it started. It wasn't a good start. When we started using screens in the churches, we stopped bringing Bibles to the churches. When I first met my wife and we started dating, she gave me this. She didn't give me this Bible. Her mother did, but she showed me this Bible. It was her grandfather's Criswell Study Bible. Never met the man. I will one day. His name was Charlie. And he shared the gospel all the time. This is his Bible. A little ripped and yellowed here and there, and the binding's kind of messed up. It's got an odor to it. It smells like truth. It smells used, you know. I love to hear the pages. For those of you who have never seen a Bible but only have a phone app, it's quite an experience to actually have the book. I have an old Bible. I have notes in the margins. And NIV Study Bible when I first got saved, and it meant a lot to me. It fell apart and it left out in the rain one time. And the sun would fade it in the back seat of my Dodge Omni hatchback. But I encourage you to get the book. Can you believe I'm saying that? Carry it. Get familiar with it. Know where things are on certain pages based on the fact you've been there multiple times. And hold on to it. Touch it. Smell it. The Bible. Have a relationship with this book. You know, sometimes I'm finding this is happening more and more in my life, and I'm thanking God for it. I'm finding that I'm going about my business, doing whatever I'm supposed to do during the day, and I might be in a good mood, I might not be. I'm not all that moody, but sometimes, you know, could be better. And I'll get this, you know how you get like a craving for something? Here lately, now that they put a Kilwins in Brevard, I'm finding that on my multiple trips to Lowe's, I'm getting a bit of a craving for this certain double scoop and a waffle cone. Problem. Might have to go to Lowe's in Franklin. But what I'm also finding is, every once in a while, I get that little bit of a, oh man, I could go for what? I could go for being at home right now. My chair, with my Bible, pages open. God's speaking to me. Anybody get that? You know what I'm talking about? It's a craving. It's a necessity. It's an entree. It's not an appetizer. It's an entree, not a dessert. It has to happen. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. You got to have it. Somehow or another, it's not the same on the phone as it is in the book in the chair with the light on. There's something about it at 6 a.m. It's quiet. You're a turkey off in the distance. Occasional deer. But you got the book. It has to be new wine. It has to be fresh. You have to drink of that water. You have to want that. So if you've released this fire shut up in your bones this past week and you've worshiped as I've asked you to, then let's add a little more fuel to the fire, shall we? Let's long for a longing for the word. Let's hunger for a hunger for the word. Let's thirst for a thirst for the word. Let's make our prayer life almost a humble demand. The necessity, the holy desperation that I must, Lord, I must have this. I must have this. Not just because I want it, because you know I need it. I need you to plant in me and stoke up the pilot light in me that says, I need to be still with the Bible open and I need to devour what is in this book and chew on it and break it down that it becomes more like a part of me, the Word of Christ. You have to want that. You have to want that. You have to You can't allow church to become sort of spectator sport, some sort of entertainment, some sort of cultural thing you do. You have to let it spark something in you that says, I'd not go another day without this word. That's our attitude. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be saying to God in the 21st century. For the pulpits of America are becoming void with the Word of God. And as I said last week, 20, 30 years from now, you might as well call us Europe. Somebody better get hungry. And I'm talking to preachers about preaching the Word of God. Somebody ought to be saying something. Somebody ought to be doing something. And the congregations of America must demand from their leaders the Word of God. If not, get rid of them. Get rid of them in Jesus' name. And I'm serious, as you can tell. My heart grew hot within me, said the psalmist. While I meditated, the fire burned. And then I spoke with my tongue. Heartburn in the right direction. Deuteronomy 33 and 2, the Lord came from Sinai, and he came with 10,000s of saints, and from his right hand came a fiery law from them. His law is fiery and hot, full of energy. The word comes from God by fire is the gospel, which is the power of God. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you exactly what in retrospect I wish someone had told me earlier and wish I had listened earlier. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Word of God will give light to you. It will give light to you. It will bring clarity to you. It will overcome dimness, fogginess, darkness. It will illuminate and become revelatory and get the revelatory nature of the Word of God as early as you can in your life so the rest of your life can be in keeping with the revelation of how to live, how to celebrate, how to have joy, how to have purpose and mission. Oh, and eternal life. It helps you see your need for a Savior. It helps you see your own impurities. It helps you see your areas of weakness. It helps you see your need for refinement. Without the Word, we become so satisfied with where we are, but yet so far from our potential. The Word of God has got to illuminate things in our life that we don't want to see, but we have to see. Our insufficiency, our need for God, our need for conviction of sin. We have to have it. It reveals to us when we sit down and meditate upon it and the heartburn starts to creep up, it reveals to us what? Our own righteousness and how close to filthy rags it actually is. More than I think we're willing to admit. We need that kind of sobriety in our approach to God. That kind of reverence and awe of God only comes through the Word of God. I don't know about you, but if I read something here in these ancient, this is the way I do it in my mind. I got this ancient papyrus made from a reed, came down from the cedars of Lebanon out of some harbor, scribe put it on a piece of paper. I know it says Zondervan, I don't pay any attention to that. The Ancients of Days is speaking to me truth, relevant truth. And he has a way of meditating on that truth that's going to light a fire in my heart. I don't know about you, but I want a fire in my heart. I want a fire in my heart. I want it to stay there. Salvation by Christ directs one's walk. In spite of our need of forgiveness, in spite of our own sin, in spite of our own conviction, the Word of God will encourage us to see past that. Listen, if you're riddled with shame today and you can't go forward in life because you have such a low opinion of yourself or your possibilities, the Word of God will pull you right past that. Right past, right through it. Won't deny it, won't go around it. You'll go right through it, and then you'll look back on it and deal with it. Trust me, trust better the Word of God. It'll bring you right through that shame. God will begin to define who you are, not what was done to you or who said what or did that. The Word of God, the fire, a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It's to be hidden in your heart that you might not sin against him. To dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. It's living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword, and it penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the attitude of the heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jeremiah, is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Building a bocce ball court, of all things. On the border are 6x6 timbers that weigh a lot. I've gotten to the point in my life, and I think many of you know what I'm talking about. You're not really interested in getting on all fours and moving these things with your hands. This is why God created what's called a sledgehammer. I call it an attitude adjuster. Just the tap of a sledgehammer does far more than these sore elbows can do. And I can move and manipulate those heavy objects with a hammer. And he says, God's word is like a hammer, breaks the rock pieces. Sometimes we need a hammer. We all want a fire, but sometimes we need a hammer. It's right there. We need a hammer. In some particular area of our life, we may need a hammer. And it's wise for us, as long as we came all the way over here, and we're in church and everything, and the book's open, might as well ask the question, Lord, is there an area of my life that's in need of a hammer? It could be a sledgehammer. It could be a claw hammer. What is that about? You know, as long as we came over here, what big rock do I have in my life that perhaps I'd be better suited if it was broken up to more smaller, manageable rocks? This breaking in the Hebrew is an interesting word. It means to, well, it can mean to pulverize, but it means to break down for the purpose of scattering. God's word is like a hammer that breaks something and then scatters it. So it's not a hindrance anymore. It's not a blockage anymore. It's like pulverizing a kidney stone. Boom, now we can deal with it. It takes something so big, so ominous, so treacherous, such a source of worry, anxiety, and fear, and concern, and it breaks it down and puts it in its proper perspective to a big, glorious, loving Father. The boulder that for years you've not been able to get past, the Word of God, if used appropriately when you meditate upon it, especially if you use the right context of the Word to address your boulder, will break it down into pieces and scatter it that it can be done away with. Dispersed. There's something in breaking that is essential to the disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of breaking. Welcome breaking. Luke 24, 30 and 32, when he was at the table with them, after traveling 7 miles outside of Jerusalem on the day of the resurrection, after talking with these boys all afternoon long and them not recognizing them, this is what he said. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks. He broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. As he disappeared from their sight, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us? While he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. Their eyes were opened when he broke the bread. Their hearts burned within them as he shared who he was scripturally. This is it. You want to see more of Christ? You want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming more like him unto death, so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead? Welcome breaking. Breaking will become something very good for you, very welcome for you, often invited for you. God will not allow breaking to become a subject in your life that will cause you pain, undue pain, or stall you out, or belittle you in every way. Be open to breaking. Breaking what? The things that are the hardest, the densest, the most difficult to break on your own, the most difficult to explain, the most difficult to rationalize, the most difficult to procrastinate over, the most difficult to actually do something about. What is that? Maybe you need a claw hammer, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Maybe you don't need a sledgehammer, you need a claw hammer, something that needs to be pulled, some stronghold that needs to be pried with godly divine leverage, just pried out of your life so you don't have to be nuisance with it anymore. You don't have to be in pain anymore. Listen, if you're new to this church, let me shorten the learning curve for you, okay? Everyone's loved in this church. Everyone's loved equally. Everyone's loved by God, but we tell it like it is. There are some among us, if not now, maybe later, are going to need something pried out of our life. And it's okay. It's all right. It's all part of the growing process. This isn't a church where you just kind of like come and simmer and leave. No, I realize you aren't going to be here more than two or three times. So if I don't get your attention in two or three times, I ain't getting it. So listen up. If you need a claw hammer in your life to pry out of you some sort of stronghold with a 4-inch nail, you've come to the right place. You've come to a place where you can be whole again because God broke you in a loving, kind way, where you didn't have to perform your way or discipline your way out of a problem. God, by his Spirit, through his word, did that for you. You already did it on the cross. The nail that's holding you down was put in his arms and legs. And you can get free. You can get free here. This is the place to get free. Nehemiah 8:4, Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. How many of you went to a church coming up where you had an elevated pulpit? You ever seen these? Raise your hand so I can see. Yeah, that's cool, isn't it? What was the point? You'd put the pulpit way up there by the speaker so as to elevate the importance of what was spoken. It's a respect thing. It's a visual of exalting the power of God's word. And what would that speaker do? Ideally, they would cast that word like bread upon waters, broken bread, for all to devour, meditate upon, and eat. The very nature of this being a little bit elevated and me sharing with you the bread of life comes from Nehemiah chapter 8. That's where the model comes from. And what did people do once it was cast upon the waters? They would get together in small groups and talk about it with people who would facilitate the conversation just like we do today so that we can all morph, transition, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast your bread upon the waters. God is casting bread your way. Will you eat is the question. Well, that's the breaking. Now let's get to the hammering. The hammer raises a fearful expectation of everlasting fire. See, there's a relationship between the fire of God and the hammer of God. The hammer will bring to you the revelation that without Christ, things could not go well in eternity. What do you mean? Could not, will not. The hammer is reminiscent of the righteous judge who executes righteous judgment. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, the last thing you want to do is to die without him. Because your explanation of the level of your righteousness will not satisfy a righteous judge on Judgment Day. It could be your best effort, but it won't be enough. It could be very little effort, won't be enough. Anything less than perfection won't be enough. So this is why you need Christ. Christ, as your representative in human form, came in the form of a man, humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross, and lived a sinless life on your behalf. Our unwillingness for that rock of unbelief to be broken and to accept him for what he did will cause us to have to stand on our own righteousness, which won't be enough. God so loved you, he gave his only begotten son. He demonstrated his love for you while you were yet a sinner. He died for you. He provided for you a substitute sacrifice, his son, to pay a penalty you couldn't pay, to pay a debt you owed but couldn't pay. Without Christ, you have to stand there and pay it on your own, and you don't have the goods. None of us do. You do not, under any circumstances, want to get to Judgment Day and get what you deserve. The hammer reminds us of that. This is not some joke. You get one shot at this life. And worse yet, you don't even know how long it's going to last. There wasn't too many weeks ago I stood in this very pulpit and I said, people have heart attacks more often than not on Monday mornings. The next day, Monday morning, someone in this congregation died of a heart attack. Thank God she knew Jesus Christ. She stands on his righteousness. Zechariah 7 and 12, they made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophet. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. Ezekiel 36 and 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You want to really enjoy a walk with Jesus Christ? Listen. Is there some place in your life where there is a rock that is way too big? And be isolated off to the side that keeps you from forgiving another person. It keeps you in a place of resentment. It blocks the flow of mercy from God in that relationship. It hinders your growth as a person. It reminds you of your failure in that area. That rock needs to be broken into pieces that the flow of God in that area of your life can free you from a sense of guilt and condemnation and shame and less thanness. The person you won't forgive, you won't let them go. The person you reserve for hatred or dislike or vengeance or bitterness or resentment, the one person that's blocking the flow of what God has for you, he says, my word is like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces. The relational kidney stone you'll never pass without divine intervention. You need the hammer. You need the hammer. What is that? How do you do that? Here's what you do. You go home. When you get that craving, that little stirring hunger, you hear the pages rustle, ink to come alive, and you read any and everything you can that has to do with that rock, that subject. It's like those big things in the city where these big shafts go up and these heavy things come down and break the rock under the earth. They go on all day long. When you start meditating on the word, it stirs a fire in your heart. You get heartburn in a godly way. That rock will break down that lack of forgiveness, that pain, that hurt, that sorrow, that mourning, that pain. That aimlessness, that purposelessness, that depression, that inkling of suicide, the hammer comes down on it. Not on you. the rock. The rock that prohibits the flow of what God has ideally for you. The rock that hinders the flow. His word is in my heart like a fire. Fire shut up in my bones. Fire in need of oxygen. And the only way to breathe on a dying ember is to worship him in spirit and in truth. Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks a rock to pieces? Did their hearts not burn within them as he shared with them the scriptures? You're here today and you walked into something, you go, what in the world is this? Why am I here? I'm going to tell you. Open your heart and open the book. Open your heart, then open the book, and your answer will come. Open your heart first. Open the book second, and begin to read Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, and let him speak to you. Your question as to why you are here today will be answered, not by me, by him. You can no longer live the way you're living. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you don't, half of what I said to you probably makes no sense. But the other half is enough to say, you know what, I need more. I want to hear more. It's a craving he put in you. That's the hunger he put in you. And his sovereignty, he brought you here today. For those of you listening online, that's why you're there. That's why you're open. That's why your computer's still on. He's calling you to a friendship with him where he can help you live the greatest life you can live right here on earth. The most freeing and liberating life there is. If you never accepted Christ, and I want to pray for you. We all want to pray for you. We want to celebrate maybe a decision for you to do just that. Come to faith in Christ and be forgiven of your sin and receive eternal life. Is there anybody here today who's never accepted Christ? You just want, you say, yes, I hear you today, Pastor. I hear you. I need this Christ of which you speak. I need new life. I need new wine. I need new direction. Anybody here? Just raise your hand so I can see it. Anybody? All right. We're going to open this altar here now. We're going to do it for a couple reasons. One, if you have something you personally need to deal with the Lord on, altar is a great place to do that. It's intentional. It says something. It's an action step. Nobody judges you for coming up here for any reason, ever. But I'm also asking for others to come up, maybe not on a personal basis, but we have some people in our congregation, frankly, that are hurting and have been hurting far too long. Now, as I say one of these names, if one of them sticks with you, I want you to come in and pray for that person at this altar. If the Lord speaks to you about it, I want you to come and stand in with them. Myrna Moore. She's headed to California. Well, she's already in California now having a procedure. She's got a serious issue with her gallbladder and a possible tumor. David Spears, one of our elders down at Sky Valley. Triple bypass Tuesday morning. Kanae Johnson, Russ's wife, one of our elders' wives. Staring at dozens and dozens of chemo treatment right now as we speak. The endurance needed, apart from a divine intervention, is horrific just thinking about it. Let's be honest. There's a young girl that came to the church a few weeks back and accepted Christ after the service. She's got stage 3 or 4 cancer. She's probably here today. I'm not going to mention your name. I want you to come down and pray for her for healing. Dick Romano has been struggling. He's what's now called a long hauler with COVID. He's in bad shape. He needs the body of Christ. I'm going to give you the name Dusty. I want you to come up here and pray for Dusty if you feel led to do so. If you feel led to do so, God would heal him. Let's be obedient to that today as we close our service. Come and pray. Come and deal with the Lord. Amen.